Chapter 3. I followed the beaked nun up stairs that creaked under my feet to a large room filled with beds. Across the room were 7 girls who had been among the sullen children I had seen earlier. They were standing in a somber line in front of 4 foul-smelling wooden stalls along one wall. The outsider pushed me into place at the end of the row, and I nearly gagged from the odor that wafted from the stalls behind us. Another dark-cloaked nun passed by the girls, eyeing them up and down, one by one. She clutched a large pair of shears. She stopped in front of a small, sickly-looking Inuit girl. I knew the girl must be of the copper Inuit from Victoria Island because her parka cover was drawn high at the sides, the front and back hanging low like a beaver's tail, unlike the Mother Hubbard parkas we wore in the West. The girl shrank under the nun's glare. Catching a firm hold on one of the girl's long braids, the nun snipped it off with a clean slice and let it fall to the floor. The girl hid her face in her hands as the second braid was cut. The nun did the same to 4 other girls, sparing only 1 older girl and 1 of the outsider's children, who was likely a trapper's daughter. The sound of the shears severing thick black hair drowned out the howls of the disgraced girls. At last, only I remained. I held my breath. I was large for my age. Surely she would pass over me. She did not. She stopped directly in front of me. I stepped back from her heavy cross, which nearly struck me in the face, but she reached out and yanked me back by 1 braid. "I can fix my own hair," I protested, in Inuvialuktun, but she held tight, and with the same motion a bird makes to pull a piece of flesh from a fish, clamped the jaws of the shears down on my braid and severed it. I was horrified. I wasn't a baby. My other braid fell to the floor to meet the first, and I joined the others in their weeping. There we stood, sobbing in the humiliation of our discarded hair. A tall Gwich'in girl in a uniform came into the room. She gave a comforting look to one of the weeping girls, who I knew to also be Gwich'in by the wraparound moccasins she wore. My mother had warned me about the Gwich'in. They were not like us Inuvialuit and did not get along with our people. The uniformed girl looked at me. A thin, malicious smile crinkled her lips. I wish they would cut her hair, too. She was joined by 3 other braided girls in uniforms. One of the nuns said something to them that I did not understand. They marched out the door and returned, moments later, with their arms full. I looked for Agnes among them, as they scurried between us, passing out the impractical clothes that we were to wear. They had us exchange our warm, comfortable kamik and moccasins for outsider shoes, and issued each of us a short-sleeved blouse and 2 pinafores, 1 navy blue and 1 khaki. But the worst were the scratchy canvas bloomers. They expected us to wear underwear made out of the same stuff that tents were made with. They knew nothing of living in the north, nor how to dress for it. The hooked-nosed nun shrieked something. I had no idea what she was saying. She held her bony finger out, pointing it directly at me. The floorboards of the dormitory groaned, and I held my breath, scared of what might come next. From a distance, a familiar voice whispered, "Change into the new clothes." I turned, and there was Agnes. She had come in and joined the other uniformed girls. One of the nuns hurried over to her, a harsh rasp flying from her mouth. I felt bad that Agnes had gotten into trouble for speaking to me, but I was glad she was there. I gave her a hint of a smile and began to dress. I hated my new clothes. I was much larger than the other girls my age, and the clothes did not fit well. The shoes pinched my feet. The bottoms were hard and stiff. They did not form to the shape of my foot like I was used to, and there was no padding inside of them. The faded black secondhand stockings were as transparent as walrus intestines and much too small. They did not reach to the elastic bottoms of my bloomers, so I had no way of holding them up. It was a good thing my mother had bought me my own stockings. I reached into my bag and pulled them out, but the nun snatched them from me with a scaly claw. I stood up straight, hands on my hips, and let out a huff. "And who do you think you are?" she asked me in my own language. "I am Uliman Pokyak," I told her, puffing my chest. "We use our Christian names here, and we speak English," she narrowed her eyes. "You are Margaret," she said, switching languages. She could say what she wanted. I knew what my grandfather had named me. It was Uliman, the same as his Alaskan Yupik mother, and it meant the hard stone that is used to sharpen an ulu. But I could not tell her, because I did not speak nearly enough English, nor could I do anything about my clothing, though I knew my knees would play peekaboo with the cold when I walked, and my toes would freeze as they poked holes through the ends of my onion skin tights. Why would she not just let me wear my own stockings? The nun scuttled to the wall facing the stalls. With one long bony hand, she picked up a cloth from a shelf that was lined with wash basins and made a circular motion with it in front of her face. She pretended to scrub behind her ears and under her armpits. I didn't need a lesson on how to wash my face. I already knew how to do that. What I needed was to learn how to read. After she finished her class on washing, she opened her mouth and let out a squawk. First, the outsider's daughter took out a tube and a toothbrush from among her belongings. The rest of us did as she did. I placed some paste from the tube on the end of my toothbrush and stuck it in my mouth. It was worse than a fly's breakfast. I couldn't help but gag and spit it out. The raven-like nun called out, "Catherine?" And the Gwich'in girl who had smiled when my hair was cut tore the tube from my hand and took it to her. The nun cackled and held the tube up for the other girls to see. The older ones laughed loudly, especially the Gwich'in girl called Catherine. The Gwich'in always thought they were better than us.